Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Well, you know, Dr. Lindstrom started, must have been 30 years ago or more, writing these little articles. And I remember when I used to come down here and speak for him, he had these articles. But a lot of people got them and use them, and they've got a lot of good information in them. And he also has them on our Bible Line Ministries website, so where people can go on there and, you know, download those things and read and study them, and they help a lot of people. And I would probably say over 90% of them, 95, I agree right down the line, Min Hanker, just right there. And I'm thankful for all the work that he's done. And if you need something special, man, I just go on there and I get it and send it to somebody. And sometimes people go on there and they click them and they read them, and they sent me a couple emails wanting to know why I hold that view. I wish I had Hank Lindstrom's email address. Because some of the people that write me are trying to straighten out Dr. Lindstrom, and he's not even here. I got one from a guy named Armstrong, and he was very upset. And Armstrong is he's well known all over the world. Something about World Tomorrow or some program he has. And anyway, he read one of the articles on there about Armstrongism and what they believe and all that. And buddy, he called me up one day and he was chewing me out. And then he sent me a letter one day and he was going to sue me. And I thought, I don't even know what he's talking about. And I found out after about 3 phone calls and so forth and the little messages he'd leave on the machine, he's talking about an article Dr. Lindstrom wrote. And that he has it up on there. And so I went and I looked and I searched and I said, hey, that ain't that bad. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So they wanted me to take it down and threaten the lawsuit against me. And he was going to contact the police in the county here in Hillsborough and come over. I mean, you'd be surprised some of the things that happens. Well, here's another little article that Hank wrote. Who, me? In the rapture? It's on the wall right back there. Contrast rapture and the second coming. The rapture of all believers, second coming, no rapture at all. Well, you would think this is laid out pretty simple. Anybody can understand this. But anyway, the rapture is this right here. And the revelation, and then over here you have the second coming, which is Christ in revelation. So the rapture and revelation. Two different things. Well, some people don't believe that the rapture is different from the revelation. They just believe it's the same thing. So the rapture, they say, isn't no such thing. Is it? There's just the second coming of Christ here, and there is no rapture. So we're just coming across here in time, and we're going to go right into the tribulation period. So instead of us looking for what we call the blessed hope, we should be looking for the blessed tribulation. Well, and if this is going to happen before Christ comes back, we don't even have to look for Christ to come back. All we got to do is look for the Antichrist. That changes the whole thing about what we're looking for. And so the Antichrist could be imminent at any time. So Hank believed that this is the rapture, and Hank believed that this is the revelation, that there's two phases of the second coming. Well, lo and behold, that's what I believe too.
So
this guy wrote me a letter. It started off with a very simple little email. And this is what he said. Good to see your website. I wonder why you hold to the belief that the rapture is to occur before the tribulation. This is a serious error that was prompted or promoted by J.N. Darby in the 19th century, but refuted by scholars such as B.W. Newton and Greek scholar Tregellis. Please see, and he gives me a place to go, for a complete and convincing biblical refuting of the secret rapture theory. May the Lord abundantly bless and guide you in your study of his word. Sincerely, Paul, from a place in England. So we know where it's from. I emailed him back. I thought I'd just keep a quick, short, simple little statement, because I have a few things that I work on, and I can't write a dissertation for every person that asks a question. I wrote back, I hold to the rapture before the tribulation because of my study of the Word of God. I do not hold views based on who does or who doesn't. I state my position, but I do not debate my position. Thank you, Ralph Yankee Arnold. Now, wasn't that sweet? Just straight to the point. No beating around the bush, just straight. No accusations, nothing made. Well, then I got a letter back. I'm going to send this one to Hank. He says, Dear Ralph, with great respect, that's enough to scare you right at the beginning. With great respect, you remind me of the ostrich who buries his head in the sand. Now, this is all in Christian love. How easily we can all do that at times. That made me feel better. So now I know that he does it too sometimes. But may I gently remind you that the child of God should be humble, seeking guidance from the Lord, ready to hear his word. Well, I thought I was. I mean, I thought I was. Anyway, he says, let me assure you, you do not hold those views because of your study of the Word of God. Well, I thought I did. He already knows why I hold the views. You hold those views because you have been indoctrinated in the pre-tribulation rapture theory, which rests on a system of theology known as dispensationalism. Well, I thought, no, that is interesting. So he doesn't believe in the dispensations taught in the Bible, as though it's not in the Bible. Do me a favor. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. It is an assumption that I hold my view not because of my personal study of the Bible, but because I'm simply believing what somebody told me. Now, he admits that he used to hold this view until somebody explained it to him the other way. And so now he holds the other view. And don't see why I don't change along with him. Ephesians chapter 3, look there in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation, and he's upset with me because I believe in dispensations. The Bible says there are dispensations. He says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote it for in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages or other time periods was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. So there have been different periods of time. Certain knowledge has been revealed that was not revealed before. So a dispensation is a period of time in which God deals with man concerning a responsibility and consequences if failure to meet that responsibility. So as we study the Word of God, we realize that there are different ways in which God dealt with people in different periods of time. And He has not dealt with man all the time in the same way. Now, God's character never changes. Man's character hasn't changed. But God tries a different economy, a koinomos. It's a different dispensation or a dispensing of various truth or message or responsibilities that God gives to different individuals. For example, we call these up here dispensations. This is a dispensation, a period of time. This is another period of time. These are different ages, different periods of time, and how God dealt with man. Now, God told Adam and Eve they could freely eat of the trees of the garden, but not one tree. And if you eat the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. Well, my name isn't Adam. My wife's name isn't Eve. I do not live in the Garden of Eden. I've never lived in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, He didn't tell me that. He told them that. I don't even know where the Garden of Eden is. I don't know where the tree is. I don't even know what kind of fruit it was. Must have been a banana because it had a peel. So I don't know, but there were consequences, and that was a period of time, and the result was, you shall surely die. And they were cast out of the garden. So you see, you can't say that what He told them to do, He told everybody to do. No, He didn't. And then when you come on down and you talk about the flood, He told Noah to build a boat because the people were so wicked, and He was going to end that period of time by destroying everybody in the world except eight people that happened to be in the boat, the ark. My name is not Noah. He didn't tell me to build a boat. Why don't you go build a boat? Why don't you go build a boat? Because He didn't tell us to build a boat. He told them to build a boat. And whatever He told them doesn't mean that's what He told me to do. So there's different responsibilities that God has given. And why a man can deny that is beyond me. It's in the book. And it's what it says. There's things that God says to those that were under the law. And for 1,500 years, the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, given to the children of Israel. And the consequences was at the conclusion of the law, Christ was crucified, and they're supposed to keep the law, and the only one that did, they killed. And then in 70 AD, the temple fell, and they were scattered upon the face of the earth. Now, that is a period of time. And for the Apostle Paul to say that there is another period of time, because the church was born on the day of Pentecost, which is the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit came and baptized Jews in Acts chapter 2, baptized Gentiles, Acts chapter 10, and put Jew and Gentile together in one body. And God gave to the Apostle Paul messages for the church. And therefore, Paul had special revelation given to him that applies to us during this period of time. But this period of time will not last forever. And the reason we know this is a different period of time, because this is the 70th week of Daniel. And the 70th week of Daniel, in reality, belongs to the 69th week where Christ was cut off. So if you was to take this out and slid this over here, you see, then it all fits in all the prophecy in the Old Testament. It all runs right into the tribulation. They knew nothing about this in the Old Testament. But they did know about this in the Old Testament, And they knew about Christ coming back in power in the Old Testament. And this is all in the Old Testament. This isn't. And that's why he says this is special knowledge given him. Look there in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it? What is this mystery? In verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So he says in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach Christ, or among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. But now it is revealed. It was hidden and now revealed. So not everything was known in previous times or periods of time. So the Bible talks about dispensations. So if you understand this, it helps you to know where to put Scripture. Take your Bible while you're right there. Look in Colossians in chapter 1. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. And look for what he says in verse 25. Verse 25. It makes this statement, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Now, in the military, they had a dispensary where they would go to sick bay and they would dispense medicine or shots or whatever else you needed. So you can dispense. It means they receive something and they're giving something. So in the dispensation of grace, we have received grace. We dispense grace. We received it. We give it. That's why we live by grace. And that's why this is called the grace age or the church age or the body age. It's all the same thing, but it's a period of time. So it has a beginning and it has an ending. Every dispensation does. And it calls this a dispensation. So it's taught in the Word of God, and shouldn't be a question about that or a problem. But evidently it is a problem. Let me just give you this. He says, I am not asking you to debate your position. I am simply stating the truth in the hope and prayer that the Lord may open your eyes on this matter. There is not a shred of evidence in the Word of God to support the pre-trib theory. Pre-trib theory. It means that we believe that Christ comes before the tribulation. Post-trib means we believe that Christ is coming back after the tribulation. So, or we believe here, he comes back pre-millennial. So we have those views. We are pre-trib, pre-millennial. We believe Christ will come back before the tribulation and before the millennium. See, not everybody believes that. There's amillennialists. That means they don't believe there is any such thing at all. And as some people believe, see, that we are going to bring in the kingdom. So we got to change the world and make it good enough that Christ will hurry up and come back. So some people believe that Christ comes back at the end of the millennium. They're all messed up. So there's all kinds of views. And so you just need to understand that. Let me give you this. He says, I was brought up on the pre-tribulation rapture teaching too. I thank God for the Christian brother who has the courage to point out to me that this is not the teaching of Scripture. I then did my own study of the Scriptures, looking at all the relevant passages. And the Lord enabled me to see that there is only one single public appearing of Christ at His second coming, which is taught in the Scriptures. Many believers are coming to see this in these days, while others remain deceived on this point. Okay. 1 Thessalonians. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians And in 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter 1. The Bible tells us that, yes, Christ is coming back and what he wants us to do. But look in verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, as you study 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, it's going to tell you about the wrath to come. I don't believe it's necessarily talking about just, you know, the wrath of hell, because we've already been saved. That's not going to happen. But he's going to promise them, this right here is called the wrath of God. I used a lot of scriptures last Sunday morning stating about the wrath of God that's coming upon the earth. And that God says there's peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon this period of time. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. It's also mentioned as the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah. Also Daniel chapter 12. This is a period of time that God says the worst period of time that the world has ever known. And so as you go through here, you'll see some of this, but I want you to take your Bible and look there at another scripture with me. Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the wrath of God. God hath not appointed us to go into this period of time. This is a separate period of time. There'll be people here that are not going to be able to go here. And there's people here that won't be in here. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm right here. But when the rapture takes place, I'll be here. But I won't be here. But the lost people that are here will be in here. But if they don't trust the Lord, they won't be here. So you got to understand that there's periods of time and what God says about each one so that you can rightly divide the Word of God and put things in its proper place. So he makes a statement that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but we're to wait for the Son from heaven to deliver us from the wrath to come. So we're not looking for the blessed tribulation period. We're told to look for the blessed hope that when Christ comes back in power and great glory. Now, look there in chapter 4. And when he talks about the rapture, this is a different period of time. Something different happened here. This part of Scripture, this is a truth that has not been mentioned before except in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, where it makes a statement about you shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So that time is coming. It's called the rapture, a catching away, caught up. Now, you don't find the word rapture in the Bible. Of course, you don't find the word Bible in the Bible. You don't find Trinity in the Bible or millennium. It's just that the teaching is there. So he says this in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. All right, now let's say, for example, we take our beloved brother over here, Dan. If he dies right now, absent from the body, present with the Lord, his body is asleep, it's dead. So it's put into the grave, or whatever she wants to do with it. He's in heaven with the Lord. So the Lord says that when he comes back, he's going to bring them with him. And then it says the dead in Christ, that means the body that's dead, is going to raise from the dead. And then we which are alive when he comes will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So this is not where Christ comes to the earth. This is where he comes in the air. So you see, here when he comes back, the Bible talks in the Old Testament, his feet will touch upon the Mount of Olives. He's coming to the earth, sets up a kingdom upon the earth, and there's the judgment of nations. But none of that in these scriptures take place right here. It's not there. None of these things are mentioned in the scripture that we're reading right now. And yet it says he's coming back. And this is what he says in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then there is the tribulation period upon the earth. This 7 years is a separate period of time. It belongs to the 70 weeks of Daniel. There were 70 weeks of 7 years each, which means a total of 490 years. From the time they went back and issued the decree to rebuild the temple and the walls and so forth, was supposed to be a certain period of time, goes up to 483 years, and then the Messiah would be cut off. 483 years. 7 years is missing. There it is. This shoved us out into the future. Because the king was rejected, the kingdom was postponed, and there's the 70th week of Daniel that still has to belong to that certain period of time. So that period of time is out there, and we know how long it is. We are not part of this. So the Lord says in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. This period of time comes as a thief in the night. Not this. Over here. And here's why. He says in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Look up here. When they. So we're not talking about us. We're not talking about we. We're talking about they and them in a different period of time. When they shall say peace and safety, that's the first 3.5 years. Then sudden destruction, that's the last 3.5 years. When they say that, look what he says. He says, suddenly destruction cometh upon them. Because see, in the first chapter here, it talks about we are to wait for our son who is going to save us or deliver us from the wrath to come. We're not going into that period of time. Would take
my place. Have you ever heard that faith without works is dead? Or have you ever read James chapter 2? Does your faith produce good works? Some teach that if you don't serve the Lord, you're not saved. Is that true or false? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.